Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and you are here on Blog Talk Radio with mothers and daughters from around the world. We call it the round table. So sit back, relax, get a pen and a piece of paper. Something is going to stir up in your spirit today as we have this conversation. And jot down some things that come up because it's a part of your wake-up call. Okay? But before we get into all of that, first of all, let's thank God for giving us another day. Father God, I just thank you. I ask you to bless mothers and daughters around the world. Father God, I ask that you touch their hearts, their minds, their hearing, their words, their spirit, that they align themselves up with your word, bringing the two wills together, creating one will to do the work of the kingdom for you. Father, we just thank you because when mothers and daughters are healed, the entire family are healed. The fathers and the sons are affected because mothers are the nurturers. They're the one that have the first 9 months of influence over the child's life. So Father God, we ask you to heal the minds, bring peace to the minds of mothers so that we can have healthier children, creating a healthier world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, that's a part of our jobs as mothers, is to create healthy spiritual children from God's perspective, not necessarily what we think and how we think they should grow up and who we think they should be and all the influences that we try to put on our children. Now, we want you to be, we raised you up to be this, that, and the other. Now, think about it. Did you raise them up to do that? According to the word of God, what did God ask you to do? Or did you ever think to stop and ask? God, I have this daughter, you know, you've given to me. You sent her here on earth, and I was the vessel that you used. And there's a certain amount of responsibilities come with being a mother. You know, not what you think, it's what God thinks. Because that child is not yours. The child belongs to God. You are the vessel, you're the mother, and you have power of influence over that daughter. God is expecting you to ask for instruction, just like he would for your own life. You know, we're all his children, regardless of who was the vessel that brought us into this world. think about that as we go deeper into the conversation later on. We're talking about waking up. You know, you got to wake up. And a lot of times people are saying, wake up. What do you mean, wake up? I'm awoke. I'm listening to you. What you talking about? Wake up. I'm talking about from your consciousness. We can be asleep, but they're not conscious. Sometimes people say, you know, I didn't know. Well, that's because you were asleep. But every day if you get up and you say, God, what is it that you want me to do today? How can I serve you today? Lead and guide me today. Give me the wisdom I need for today. You know? He'll start talking to you. He'll start telling you things. And he'll instruct you to do things. Go here, do that. Say this, don't do that. Blah, blah, blah. Well, those elements of being woken up, because then now you're getting new information. You're getting a learning that yesterday you didn't know anything about. Today God is sharing some additional information. It makes you aware in that particular area, so therefore you are waking up to something that you had no knowledge of before, which we consider as sleep or dead. I know that might be a little confusing to a few people, but think about it. Don't get too heavy with it. Just think about it. We're asleep when we don't seek information. Not that it's not there. It's just that you've chosen not to seek it. He says, seek and you shall find. You know, and it's not seeking for a car. It's seeking for a house. It's seeking for wisdom. How can I raise the best daughter that I possibly can raise? So how can I be the best mother that I possibly can be? Lord, give me the wisdom. Show me how to do this. And I think a lot of times when I'm talking to mothers and daughters, they think that they have to be perfect. Or they will say, you know, I'm just waiting for the relationship to get to this. Well, the relationship is forever evolving around and around. So sometimes you're going to come back across some things, but you got to know how to deal with it. And it comes right at the center core of unforgiveness. And that's some of what we're going to talk about today. So I don't want you to go anywhere. I want you to stay tuned. I want you to call your friends, your mothers and daughters. And when I say mothers and daughters, that's every woman, because every woman is a daughter. Sometimes they say, well, Dr. Fletcher, I'd like to be a part of what you're doing, but I don't have a daughter. Well, the requirements is not that you have to have a daughter. You are a daughter. If you're a woman, you are a daughter, and you have your own mother and daughter story, and one that is worthy to be shared with the world, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. Someone out there can benefit from what you've gone through. And especially if it's a stressful relationship and you've came through some serious hard times in your mother and daughter relationship and you've conquered it or you haven't conquered it, you know, this is the platform that you can come in, you can talk about it, you can share it. And as you share it, trust me, you are healing someone else. You're waking up another mother and daughter. Because somewhere along the line, someone else is experiencing what you're experiencing, or so similar that it seems like it's the same, and they don't know what to do, or they think they're the only ones that are going through that at that moment. No one else cannot be going through this. It's got to be just me. Am I crazy? What? So those thoughts and those conversations are going off in someone else's head. When you get on and you share your thoughts and your feelings, someone's going to say, wow, I'm not going through this by myself. There are other mothers and daughters out there having the same problems that we're having. Well, let's get on and let's listen to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable. Let's listen. see if there's something else that we can hear. And if you share your stories, it just keep going on and on and on. So I want to thank everybody for getting up on Saturday mornings. I want to thank you for calling in, getting on your computer, listening to the program. I know it's not an easy thing to do. And I know even some people that's very close to me, you know, sometimes find it difficult to do it. But I appreciate each and every one of you for taking that time out and getting up on Saturday morning and joining me for a conversation in and about mother and daughter relationships. Okay? So today, our stimulating topic is a continuance on what we've been doing for the last 2 weeks, a wake-up call for mother and daughter, part three. And it looks like we're going to be on that for maybe another session. I don't know. Like I said, I don't get up and create the topics or the lessons that that I'm teaching. I don't create those. The Holy Spirit creates them. And he has the strong push on me and my heart about a wake-up call for mothers and daughters. Now, I want you to take this lightly. And this is not for any one mother and daughter. This is for all mothers and daughters. It's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to wake up. We got to be more attentive to the Word of God, what he's saying to our heart, and being a doer of the Word. Not a doer of what you want to do, a doer of the Word. I know everybody says, oh, I'm so busy, and that, yeah, we all think that we're busy, but whose time are you working on? Do you own time? Do you own air? Do you own your own body? I mean, whose time are you working on? You're working on God's time. That was a wake-up call for me. And that's what I mean by wake-up call. It's a new awareness. It's transforming your mind. A wake-up call is to be alert to new information, gathering new wisdom from God, transforming your mind, becoming a doer of what you have just learned, not just learn something or read something and think that's it. You've got to do it. Once you know better, you got to do better. And I know all of us have probably heard that. Once you know better, you have to do better, because much is required for those who know. And sometimes people want to act like they don't know. Makes life a lot easier, but it doesn't. Because what it does, mother, it puts you and your daughter in a position to be in line for Satan to kill, steal, and destroy. And you don't want to be in that line. That's a front line position. And you're surely to get hit. So you want to be protected. And mother, as you do, your daughters will do. So when I said it's a wake-up call for mothers and daughters, if the mother wakes up, she'll go around in the house and she'll wake up all of her children. She'll wake up her husband. She'll wake up her friends. She'll wake up her cousins, her sisters, her coworkers. Once you hear good news, you want to share good news with everybody that you know. But you've got to seek to find the good news. Satan's job is to keep you from getting the good news. And we're going to talk about a little bit about that. But I want you to know that you are so important to God, mothers, that he chose you to be the vessel to deliver a child into this world. That's the most important role of any human being. Being a mother, to be chosen. And for the mothers out there who thinks that, you know, I'm not a mother, maybe I would never be a mother, stop saying those words. You're created to be a mother. Don't let your words stop you from being a mother. And like one of the ladies that was on our show, she had 9 babies. All 9 of those babies died. And you would think, most people would say, you know what? After about the 3rd or 4th baby, you know what? God must not intend for me to have a child. I'm done, and I'm just going to go on. But 9 babies, it's still just, it disturbs my mind because I can't even conceive the fact that someone could be, I mean, she's in good mental condition, beautiful, exciting, Christian woman. And she said, I told God, if you did it for Sarah, then my job is to wait. And I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to be a mother. The 9th baby, boy, he lived for 4 hours. The 10th baby was born. She named her Sarah. And Sarah's living today. Sarah's about 22. But the point I'm trying to make to you, that's the kind of faith that you have to have. The wake-up call was that I'm going to believe God's word. I'm going to stick to it. I'm not going to deviate from it. She transformed her mind. She believed what God said, and that was it. Now, we have a wake-up call, and each of us mothers, that we need to wake up to, and it's a daily work. You got to work the word. Now, I want you to understand that. You have to work the word of God in order to achieve and receive the promises. We can't talk about it. You got to work it. And that's constantly dealing with the intro conversation, an ongoing conversation in your head. You got to constantly replace negative words with positive words, words that God has given you. That's where the battle is. That's where the enemy comes in. He can't do anything with your body until he affects your mind. And how does he affect your mind? He affects your mind by implanting words to confuse you or to keep you sleeping to the word of God. And he will infiltrate his own thoughts into your thoughts, and you think they are your thoughts. That's the sneakiness. Now, once you understand that the wake-up call is to wake up to the words that you're using in your intro conversation, you got to wake up to that. Wake up, wake up, wake up to the words that you're using in your intro conversation. Now, I know we all slip at some time, but you got to fix it right then. God said you got to be quick to repent. You got to be quick to replace the words. Don't let them settle. Don't agree with them. Don't accept them. Because once you do, then you will see it in your mind's eye, and it becomes your reality. Now, I'll say that again. Don't accept the words. If Satan plant a word in your intro conversation that is negative, you immediately replace it with the word of God. You immediately say, no, that's not what God said. I don't accept that. I don't agree with it. And it will not be. That's your weapon against Satan and his words that he tried to place into your thoughts. You immediately say no. Replace it. I don't accept that. See, he can't do anything until you accept and agree. You have to sign a contract with him. That gives him privilege to work you. So if you don't sign the contract, And to sign the contract is to verbally agree, to think on those things when you know they're not right. So when you sit down and you hear all these negative words pouring into your head, oh, well, see, she's this and she's that, and if I was you, I wouldn't do that. You know, no. See, he gets into your ego. And then all of a sudden, you just into a conversation. I told you, this has been what I've been preaching ever since I've been on the radio. If you get into a conversation with Satan, you're going to lose because you're not built to deal with him. Jesus has already dealt with him. So you keep your eyes focused on Jesus. That's how you raise your children, mothers. That's how you get that daughter. If you get your eyes on Jesus and you show that daughter, you keep your eyes on Jesus and she's going to show her daughter, you keep your eyes on Jesus and she's going to tell her daughter, you keep your eyes on Jesus, and we affect generation after generation after generation after generation. But if we keep our eyes on the world, which is Satan's playground, he'll put you to sleep. He'll put you to sleep with television. He'll put you to sleep with, I say, negative television. He'll put you to sleep with negative radio. He'll put you to sleep with negative writings like newspaper articles and everything that you see on the news. It's all negative, bad. Everything. Very seldom you will see a story about something good. Because Satan has convinced everybody that the news is bad. See, that works against what God said. Jesus said, go out and do what? Preach the good news. He never said preach the bad news. See, everything that Jesus said, Satan does just the opposite. He created bad news. And he whispers in your mind, oh, look at that. Oh, I feel so bad. Look at that, what happened. Then you get caught up in the bad news. Well, that is transforming your mind from good to bad. Then you speak what you think in your heart. And you're not mindful that you have a little girl that's watching you. She hears what you're saying. She see how you're being. And one thing about our daughters, they're in the house with us. Now you can go on the outside and you can front and you can dress up and look pretty and you can act like everything is all that in a bag of chips. And, you know, people think, wow, she's got it going on. She's got the house. She's got the car. She's got the jewelry. You know, everything is looking really, really good. Good job. You talking in church, looking, acting the part. But are you being the part inside the home? What self are you revealing before your children? And especially, mother, your daughter, because you are her role model. She can look at everybody on television she wants, but when she grows up, and when she start getting between 35, 40, 45, she emulates more and more of you. You become the daughter. It's a transformation of the mind because what she will remember, what you did when you were in that situation. And believe it or not, most situations that a mother goes through, the daughter somehow or another end up in that same situation. And I'm not going to say what most people think I'm going to say right now, but you understand what I'm saying because your selections of the people that you enter into your life will look similar and be similar to your daughter's selection. And you think about that. And you, mother, sometimes are very hard on the daughter for her selections of people that she have in her life because you know you've been there and you see the resemblance of the character of that person, and yet you're trying to stop the daughter from going down that path, and she's thinking in her mind, what's wrong? Because all she knows is that she remembered you was doing similar things. So the wake-up call deals with, I think, one word. And it gets right down to unforgiveness, because once you get to unforgiveness, everything else works in your life. And I'm not talking about pretending to forgive. I'm not, because one thing about it, you can fool the people, like they say, on the outside. But you can't fool yourself. And mothers, I'm asking you today to wake up to who you really are. Wake up. Wake up. Be honest. Wake up to who you really are. If you do that, your life will change right now this moment. Just be honest with yourself. Who are you? Who are you? Do you have unbelief in your heart, unforgiveness in your heart? Those are the things that will kill and block and destroy the promises of God. That's what you have to work on. I was talking to a lady one day, and I was saying, you know, people think when it says in the Bible that a man that doesn't work won't eat. If he's, oh, you got to get a job because God said if you don't work, you won't eat. Well, in my opinion, that's not what he is meant by those words. If you don't work, you don't eat. That's literal. Because, and the reason I say that is because it contradicts what he said when he said don't worry about what you eat, where you, you know, sleep. Don't worry about those things. You seek the kingdom and all these things I will add to you. So if that's the case, then why you got to work to eat? And he says, don't worry about it. I will feed you if I take care of the birds. Come on. I'm going to take care of you. I feed them. I'm going to feed you. So you don't have to physically work to eat. In my opinion, it means you got to work the word of God. That's what you got to work. You got to work that word, meaning that you got to read it, you got to meditate on it, and you got to start transforming your mind, meaning that you believe it. Once you accept those words and you say, I believe it, now the work begins, because now you got to do what you know. And if we concentrate on that, that's more work than anything else you can possibly do. Long time ago, people used to say, if you mind your own business, you won't have time to mind nobody else's. Same concept. If you focus on you and you focus on the word and what you're supposed to be doing here for the kingdom, that's more work than you'll be able to do in one day. It's a constant, everyday working. That's working the word. That's the work that he's talking about. That's when you eat the good of the land. You got to work the word to eat the good of the land. You don't have to work a job to eat food. And I know people will say, well, Dr. Fletcher, that just sounds so crazy. What do you mean? If I don't have a job, I'm going to eat. God ain't going to come down here and feed me. You don't know that. God is here. God is in each and every one of us. All you got to do is believe that I don't have to worry about what I'm going to eat and trust that he will feed you. Someone will walk up to you every day and give you money, will offer you to take you to lunch. How many times did somebody just walked up and said, you know, what are you doing for lunch today? Come on, let me take you to lunch. That can happen every day. You got to believe it. So the wake-up call is to wake up to the work that you have to do as a mother. Now, I know a lot of times when, especially a conversation I had that dealt with, you know, unforgiveness and how that worked. And I'm not going to let go of that because unforgiveness, like I told you last week, is a killer. It will kill all of your dreams. It will block the promises of God. It will stop you in your tracks. Now, I didn't make this up. You cannot get past Jesus to get to the Father if you have one unction of unbelief in your heart. You got to come with a clear heart. Now, that's work right there. You work just that, and you won't have time for nothing else. If you work cleaning your heart out every day, because every day something's going to come. Every day something's going to challenge your thoughts. Every day something's going to come into your conversation, going to tell you how to dislike this, how to say this to someone and hurt their feelings. Every day you got to watch the words that's coming into your conversation, your intro conversation. You got to watch those words. You got to clean those words up. You got to replace them. Every time a negative one comes, you got to replace it. That's why a long time ago we had grandmothers that was constantly singing and humming about something. You ever see, remember your grandmother, those of you who have the age on you enough to remember this, there's a lot of grandmothers today, I mean there's some, but younger grandmothers don't do it like the older grandmothers. You know, you got to live a while, you got to get that wisdom. And you realize if you are singing and you're humming, you stop Satan from talking to you. That'll block him. So they were always singing something, humming something, praising God in song. Negative words cannot enter through that. So that was their protection. We just thought they was remembering something from church. Well, I did. I go, oh, Grandma's singing that song, this song Sunday. Yeah. No. Grandmother was keeping her mind on the kingdom, praying for her children through song. That's why so many men say to me, when I say that I work with mothers and daughters, they want to tell you about their mother and they want to tell you about their grandmother. Now, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my mother and my grandmother praying for me. I know that because I should have been dead a long time ago. But I got, what, grace and mercy because my grandmother and my mother was praying for me. That's our role. Our role is to protect our children. And if you have to sing all day, get to singing. You are here as a protector of the children. And I want you to wake up to your responsibility. Wake up. Knowing that the mother and daughter relationship is the most powerful relationship to the family. Not neglecting the father, but father, you came through the mother too. Even Jesus came through a mother. That's how important it is. That was the role model. So we as mothers wake up. The world that we are in today is because we as mothers have dropped the ball. And I say we because none of us are perfect. We've dropped the ball in one area or the other. Our children now are just doing whatever they want to do. They're talking to adults any way they want to talk to them. There's no more yes, ma'am, yes, sir, out of respect. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she's teaching school, and she's, I can't believe the words that they use. They're using the big words to her in the classroom and calling and speaking those words to their counterpart. And like she said, one young man, she know that's not who he is at home, but trying to fit in. Everybody wants to fit in. Mothers, we've got to wake up. We got to wake up to what we're saying and doing and how we're raising our children. God is tired. God is tired. And you older mothers that have older daughters, you got to wake up. You got to wake up. You're going to be held accountable because it's your responsibility to nurture that relationship. Just like you nurture her when she was born, you have to continue to nurture as long as you're on this earth. You don't get a pass to stop being a mother. It's just not going to happen. And that relationship that you have with your daughter, you're going to have that relationship throughout eternity. It's never going to stop. So you might as well make up your mind now that whatever you all are going through, that you're going to fix it. You're going to stop right now and you're going to fix it. Because God is not pleased with you. And you know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You know that. But you have hardened your heart against the word of God. You decided you'd rather not do what God has asked you to do. It will keep you from entering into the kingdom. Trust me. You can do all the good work you want to do. You will not enter into the kingdom with unforgiveness in your heart. You got to come with a clean heart. In order to do that, you got to go back and do inventory. And this is something that no one can do for you. This is something that you have to wake up to the honesty of who you really are. And you have to say to yourself, is it worth me losing my soul over a miscommunication between me and my daughter? Is it worth losing my soul? Because all the good work, now I want you to listen to me now. This is the wake up. All the good work that you do amounts to nothing if you have unforgiveness in your heart. You can't go past what God said. And he's not going to allow you to come through because you said, God, you know, I went to church and I read your word and I'm a Christian and I help out at the church and I pay my tithes. I fed the poor. You know, I talk to you every day, God. You remember me? I was talking to you every day. You know, I told you, I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I believe he died for me, and I promise to serve him for the rest of my life. God, I'm saved. Those are the things that you may say. Doesn't mean anything if you have unforgiveness in your heart. Because unforgiveness kills all the work that you've done. All the good work that you think that I've done and I've deserved this, then unforgiveness simply killed all that. It made like all that you do void. Now you may say, Dr. Fletcher, you know, I don't understand. You know, I don't have unforgiveness in my heart. I don't like and dislike anyone. You know. And I say, good. Good for you. But let me ask you a few questions. When you go to church or on your job, is there someone there that you try to avoid, that you're not speaking to, that when you see them, something just comes up in your spirit, you just don't know what it is, but it's, you know, I don't know. When she comes around, I just don't like her. When you go to church, are you sitting beside the people that you like, or is someone you don't want to sit on this side of the church because Miss So-and-so there or so-and-so is there and I don't like them? Do you say or think negative or nasty words about anyone? Think about that. Do you have a hidden evil thought in your heart? You know, think about that. Think about that. Those are the things that I want you to think about. You know, that hidden evil thought in your heart. You think no one else knows it, you know. But when you see the person, you're smiling and grinning in their face and, hi, how you doing? Good, laughing. And in your heart, you know you really don't like the person. Are you constantly fighting negative words in your intro conversation about someone? Even about yourself. Now, that's the main killer, when you don't forgive yourself. When you don't forgive yourself, that's the main killer, and that's what I want you to wake up to. You can't forgive the others when you have not forgiven yourself. So you need to stop, think, look within your own heart, and you got to find forgiveness for those things or that one thing that you think God has not forgiven you for, because Mother's God has forgiven you for everything that you could think of and things that you don't even have a clue that he's forgiven you for. So let it go. I wrote a book called 70 times 7, and 70 times 7 means what? How many times should I forgive my brother? But what it does, this book deals with self-forgiveness. That's why you have the heart problems, high blood pressure, overweight, tiredness, laziness. I don't know what I can do. I just don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Because you can't get past that snag of unforgiveness. You got to forgive yourself. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that thing that hidden secret deep down in your heart. This week I challenge you to challenge yourself and to go deep into your heart and find out what is it that you're holding on to that you won't forget. That's the thing you need to work on. That's the work. That's the wake-up call. So as I say to you, you know, God has given you the spirit of peace. Take it. Take what he's given you. And then from that place, you start with your words, which creates your thoughts, and your thoughts, which creates your vision, and your vision, which manifests into your reality. So if you don't like where you are right now in your life, you start by changing what you say. Wake up. Wake up. I want you to wake up. Thank you for listening. That was not what I wrote, of course. I didn't even get any announcements in, because that's not what the Lord wanted me to say today. So I want you to know, I want you to examine your heart. Only you know, and the Lord's going to speak to you, because he designed this message for someone. Many ones, if that's such a thing. Many mothers and daughters out there, including myself. We've got to wake up to the intro conversation. We've got to wake up to what we allow people to say and what we allow people to do around us, because it affects our thoughts and our consciousness. So if you'd like to join the conversation, click 1. I see that you're out there. I just got to the switchboard. I'll give you a few minutes and I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's see, we have a call here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. How are you this morning, Evangelist?
Oh, I'm okay. This is Evangelist Cecilia Davis from New York. It's always a pleasure listening to you, Dr. Bessie. You talk from a perspective of God, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. And it is always, you know, great to hear that. And the wake-up call, you said this is part three. Okay, I have my notes and stuff like that. I guess I missed one part of it. But this part is, you know, it really was a wake-up call, and it is a wake-up call, and it should be a wake-up call for everybody, you know, mothers and daughters all over the world to wake up and try. And last week, after I got only a little part of it, last week, your message was so strong that it really gave me a real wake-up call. And I was like, wow, you know, I really see that you was really anointed and you is, God gave you a calling for him. And, you know, and it's hard sometimes to lead, you know, people and stuff like that. And I see it. I feel it. I mean, your energy and everything like that. And I just hope everybody, you know, can get it, you know, because you're really out there every Saturday morning and you're really giving and you're doing the best that you can and you're bringing the words and you're telling people, mothers, get your daughters, you know, your mother's not perfect, but she's there and work together and try to understand. And some people out there know me that I've been trying with my daughter for years, you know, to get that bond, that connection that we once had is not there yet, but at least I know where my child at. At least I do be able to talk to my child. At least I be able to see my grandchild. So that is a big blessing. And I'm not just claiming it. I'm just saying this year, me and my daughter relationship is going to be better than what it ever been before, because sometimes things just stay in between and you just got to let go, let give it to God and let God, you know, take it, you know, from there. But I'm also the type of person, if I can't get to my daughter, I'd be happy if, you know, somebody else, I just ask God to just let her get it. Just let her come back to me and stuff like that. And, you know, and I always, you know, try to help other people as well, you know, help other people's daughter and stuff like that. And I know by your deeds and going to church and all of this stuff, that's not what you have to do. You have to open up. You have to you have unforgiveness. You can't hold on to unforgiveness. And sometimes it takes all you got to just let it go. But the only way you can do that is read the Word of God and pray and fast and really believe. And sometimes Satan come into your life and do things to you and make people believe that you something, things that you're not, because they were. There was a time I have some prayer warriors in my life, and I said I'm going to call them to ask them to pray for me. And then Satan let something come in that somebody tell me that they say this and they say that, and you just stop it. But to bring it all back together, you just got to keep your, like you said, Dr. Bessie, keep your eye on the Lord. Praying to seek his face. And we don't have these praying grandmothers like we used to. I had a praying grandmother when I was young, and now I'm a grandmother and I don't pray like my grandmother did. And sometimes things get on my mind and I just say, I just give up. And you just can't give up. You got to have that faith and you just got to keep it. And I see your dedication and you just got that faith and you got your dedication and you're gonna make it, and you are helping so many people. I mean, you may have tribes and tribulations, you may lose them, you may pick them up, that they may even pass you, but you're doing God's work and you're helping God's people, and that's basic what it is. But I just hope that people that really, that say they stand it and they believe in God and stuff like that, just really keep pushing on, because sometimes you want to give up and it's not good. And sometimes I get tired and I say I want to give up, but I know I can't. I just got to keep on. And if we all just, you know, stand for something, you got this mother and daughter and that's your ministry and you carrying it on and you helping mothers and daughters, and I know how much you helped me in my life. So I can't imagine how many other mothers and daughters that you help. And just keep on doing what you're doing. And all I can say is thank God for you. Thank God for your ministry. Thank God that I'm a part of it. Thank God for the people that are part of your ministry. And I just keep on and saying, God bless you. Bless your ministry. Bless us. And let us grow for 2013. And I thank you so much, Dr. Bessie, from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you. Man, that's... Oof, that was good for my soul. Thank you. And the reason I say that is because it's not easy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Getting up Saturday morning, knowing that I have this charge to keep, to reach as many mothers and daughters around the world. The enemy trying to stop it. He tried to take everybody away from me. You know what I mean? And I made up my mind. I said, Lord, if I'm standing with nobody, me and you and the Holy Spirit, that's good enough. I am going to just stand. And I'm not going to give in because, you know, where am I going?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I going? I cannot turn around. So I've got to keep going. And I just decided I'm going to trust you. I am not going to look to the right or the left, and I'm not sustaining these words. I put myself in this position, and about 3 or 4 months ago, I just stopped and said, you know what, Lord? I'm going to just keep my eyes on you. I'm going to believe every word you say. I'm not going to deviate. And every day, I'm just going to keep saying it. Every day, I'm going to keep saying it. Every day. Because just like everyone else we see as our models in the Bible, they went through all kinds of things. People lied, cheated. You know what I mean? Did all kinds of things to them. Put them in jail, you name it. But what happened? They stood on what God said. And what God promised them came to pass. They stood. You can't stop. You got to hold on. I don't care. The mm-hmm. challenge is in your mind. He will come with someone that tell you something. He will come with his own little words, you know, whispering in your ears. He knows if he can get in your head, into that intro conversation, he can control you. He can steal you. The hands of God, because see, God gave us the will to choose, and so we get so caught up. He'll bring somebody that'll bring just the best deal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I told God, I said, I'm not trying to convince nobody to help me with mothers and daughters. I'm not asking anybody ever again to help me with mothers and daughters. I got it. We have to go through these lessons to get it, and when you really get it, you know that God has already has He has the plan. It's laid out from the beginning to the end. So I am not going to do anything to interfere with that plan. I don't ask anybody anything anymore. I'm not trying to convince anybody to come over and help us with the program. God has already lined it up. It's His plan, and my job is to just let Him work through me. And since I started doing that, I'm telling you, people are coming, they are proposing. Mm-hmm. They're saying, we want to help you with this, and we want to do this. You know, I have choices. I have to turn down things. I mean, you know, because I'm trying to hear God, make sure I get the, which one are you saying, God? Now, this one, this one, this. Because, see, now mm-hmm. it's coming out of the woodwork. Because what? I decide to let God lead me.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. You know, to not just talk it. And, yes, I get up on Saturday morning, and, yes, do I want to sleep? You know, you feel so good on Saturday morning. You be like, oh, Lord, I just want to sleep. But see, now I've gotten past that. I get up with expectations. And, okay, Lord, what do you want me to talk about today? I don't even worry about writing nothing. I'll write down what He says or what comes to my head. But He takes off and He does. Like this morning, I didn't even do an announcement. That wasn't important. Say what I say. That's mm-hmm. what I did. But I truly appreciate you. I love you. I know when I met you, God ordained you to be a part of this. I knew it. You knew it. Satan came in, tried to destroy and try mm-hmm. to steal. Because if he can get you and I to separate, or me and anyone else to separate, you know what happens? He wins. Because he knows that you're doing all that you can do, the best Christian woman you can be. And I'm doing all that I can do to be the best Christian woman I can be. And if we get together and put our energies and focus on what God says, he cannot stop us. You understand?
Yes, and I just want to say this before I get off. I've been trying to get get a relationship with my sister for almost 20 years, and I've been kept on. Well, God just came and he just put it forth. Now, tomorrow I'm supposed to go and see my younger sister preach, and we're supposed to talk. And Satan been getting in my head, cancel it, reschedule it. You're not ready. You didn't do this. You didn't do this. You didn't fast. You didn't do this. But you know what? After I got this word from you today, I'm going to go, and I'm just going to give it to God, and I'm just going to let God work it out. I have preferred to fast and pray and all of this here before I meet her and stuff, but we have a date, and I'm not going to reschedule it. I'm just going to go forth, and I'm just going to let God, I'm going to put it in his hand, and I'm just going to let God work it out. And all the prayer worries out there, all my friends, everybody that know me, family members, everybody, I just ask for y'all to pray for us tomorrow. It's around 3:30. I'm going to see her preaching, and afterwards I'm going to talk to her. Not talking to my younger sister for 20 years is something. You know, she's a totally new person now, and 20 years done went by, or almost 20 years. So I'm just asking everybody just to pray for me, you know, just keep me in their prayers. And I thank you so much, Dr. Bessie, because I really was going to cancel it to a later date. But now God told me, no, go forth, and that's what I'm going to do.
Go. Yeah, because, see, that's what the enemy wants you to do, and you'll never be another 20 years before you get there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no reason that you should not speak to your baby sister. You know, that's something that he has stopped you, and you know she's a woman of God, and you're a woman of God. Stop it. You all got to come together and fight the enemy together. I'm going to be praying for you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We anoint Evangelist Davis and her sister tomorrow that the word come forth, and that when they meet each other, Father, it's like nothing ever happened, that it just automatically go back the way it was, the love, the nurturing sister bond, that they rebond and that they move forward. All in Jesus' name. I'm encouraging you to go, and when you see her, just kiss her, hug her, look her in her eyes, look her dead in her eyes, and ask her to forgive you. And tell her, and I forgive you, and we want to move on from here. Just look her in the eyes. You know how we do it. Take that 30 seconds and just look her in the eyes. Just hold her hands, look in her eyes. And it's going to pop. You're going to have your breakthrough.
What
time tomorrow?
It's around 3:30.
Okay. I'm going to be in prayer with you.
Thank you.
My spirit's going to be there. And I just thank God for it right now. I thank you. Thank you for sharing today. Whew. God bless you. I love you so very, very much.
Me too.
We went through the trials and tribulations. And you know what? The devil didn't win.
Thank God.
I know it. All right, baby. Love you. Have a great day. And for all of you listeners, this was a story that you needed to hear. And I know, I'm sorry I didn't get to you, but next week, I know you enjoyed that. That's what I needed you to hear today. So go get your sister, baby.
All right.
So you call me tomorrow evening.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a blessed week, everybody.